all seriousness, turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Mark 1, 15. Short message tonight. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God tonight. The coming of Jesus Christ is the coming of the kingdom of God. Mark 1, 15 says this, if you have your Bibles. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for laughter, and God, just joy. When I think about the call of Redeemer Church into this, the call in our mission statement is the call to joy. And we just have such reason to have joy in our lives as Christians. We have something that nobody can take from us. So God, let us worship you for that reason, in spirit and truth tonight. We know that we come, even now, Christmas is season is supposed to be a time of joy and peace and getting together, but we all know that there is a lot of stress. The busyness and the pace of life ramps up to levels that just cause us not to be able to relax and enjoy things. So God, I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would just remove those things by your power. God, we also know that just the sins and the pressures and this world weighs us down. And so again, God, we'd ask now that you would help us to lay those hindrances aside and Holy Spirit, come and let us worship you for what you've done and who you are right now at this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the coming of Jesus Christ is the coming of a kingdom. The kingdom into, it's an attack upon Satan. God is establishing a kingdom here on earth. The theme of the kingdom is not a sub-idea, a side idea in the New Testament. 162 times the idea of kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven sometimes is also recorded as in the scriptures in the New Testament. 162 times it's mentioned. So I think it's important tonight that not to, when I was a kid, I remember this. There's just this mystical thing about going to church and Christmas. I don't know if you've experienced this yourself, but just there was something mystical and majestic about Christmas Eve in particular. Singing Silent Night, Holy Night, going to church. And I want to get caught up in that. I love Christmas Eve for that. It just takes me back into reminding me that there was something bigger even as a little kid going on. But it's not just the mystical thing. It's the reality of the true story of God coming into the world. I just want to remind you, if you're not a believer here, if you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here, but this is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. The record of Scripture is a historical writing that in Jesus came and lived in Galilee, which is in the place of Israel we call today, and he died on a real cross and he rose on the third day. That was a real thing. And so even though it is a mystical thing and it feels the majesty and mysticism and all, we celebrate a risen Savior who's alive today. Amen. And the world, it says, had been awaiting this Christmas moment where Jesus Christ came as a child, came back into the world. Romans 8:22 says, for you know, the whole creation, everything, the whole universe was waiting and been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. But you see, as we're going through the creation account, we're going through Genesis on our Sunday morning services. We're walking through the book of Genesis, and we're in the creation account, and we see, or we will see, that God created this perfect place. The earth was perfect. It was the kingdom of heaven. It was the kingdom of God as it was originally made and purposed. Adam and Eve living without sin in relationship with God. This is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom was lost, paradise lost, when sin came in the world. And now separation occurred between God and man. But even in the separation, we'll see this, I think, even tomorrow in the message tomorrow morning. We will be here in the morning. By the way, 10 o'clock, you're welcome to come back. It'll be a pretty toned-down service, no children's things and things like that going on. Maybe we'll have some coffee, maybe not. But don't plan on it. Bring your own, probably. We're not relying on any volunteers tomorrow. But even then, even in the fall, there was instantly the promise of a restoration. God had a plan. He wasn't up there biting his fingernails. What am I going to do now? He had the plan. The plan was a king to come back and establish the kingdom, a savior, a messiah. And as you read the Bible, the Old Testament, we see the storyline of the king that would come, the king's return, the savior to come and save his people. Someone to restore that what was lost. This is the storyline of the Bible. God giving us what we need, not what we want, right? I got my mom shelving this year for Christmas, right? She wanted lots of things, but she needed shelves, all right? She wasn't real happy about it, but she got what she needed and not what she wanted. God came to make a way to know God again. You see, man's attempts at building their own kingdom in the name of God. It's called religion. I say that in a negative way. The idea of religion, every religion, they all essentially do the same thing in the end. It's man's attempt to climb back the stairway back to the kingdom of God. A ladder back to heaven. Whether that's through obeying certain rituals that the church or these religious people tell you that you need to do. Or your good works, if they outweigh the bad, then you're in the kingdom of God. Then you're in right relationship with God and the kingdom is restored to you. But always in religion, there is a falling short. There's always still the longing that never seems to satisfy. You always seem to wonder, having lived in it, did I do enough? Whether it's the five pillars of Islam, or whether it's obeying the Ten Commandments of Judaism, or whether in my case as a practicing Buddhist back in the day, you know, and those, would we get reincarnated? When my next life, would I do better to reach nirvana? But you never know. And there's always the missing joy and the missing thing. Have I done enough? Have I reached it? That never just seems to satisfy. That is man's made attempt at restoring the kingdom. And they all do the same thing and they all fall short. See, in this kingdom, God comes down to earth, not man climbing up. God comes down the ladder to restore a way that man could not restore. There's also the reality, not just of religion. That's one way that man tries to restore the kingdom on his own. The other reality is just to do it on his own. Autonomy. This is, I say this almost every week, the religion of this world is autonomy. It's secular humanism. It is, I'm going to build the kingdom on my own. I don't need God's help. I don't want God's help. It's the John Lennon song, Imagine. Some of you don't know what that is, but I grew up listening to that song all the time. Imagine there's no heaven, right? It's this concept that man has in his heart that, you know what, I don't need God. I can find my own peace. I can find my own joy. I can create my own kingdom. I don't need God. In fact, at Christmas time, you can buy it for $19.99 a month, 12 easy payments. You can have peace and joy. That's a joke in some ways, but it's true. Man, again, trying to establish his own kingdom, trying to find his own way to find peace and joy and to figure out what his way in this life. But friends, here it is. It's still elusive, isn't it? Through thousands of years of research and trying and struggle, it's still the same things that keep tripping us up, isn't it? We're not that much smarter than we were thousands of years ago. People keep thinking that they're going to find their joy, their peace in a relationship with another human being, which people tend to let us down, in riches of man or the wealth of materialism, the comforts of this world. But we keep longing. We know it doesn't work. We're always reaching for something more, aren't we? I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said this, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in the world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." I love that. Yes, that's true, friends. We were made for the kingdom of God. The things of this world will never satisfy. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to us. In fact, that's what he says in Luke 42 through 43. He says this, "When it was day, he departed and he went into a desolate place." This is Jesus' ministry. He's just started preaching the gospel. He just started doing miracles and the crowds are gathering. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So God was sent to, Jesus was sent into the world. He came at Christmas to preach a message, to tell a story, to tell of a truth, of good news. But this scene is very important, I think, for us to grasp, because what it says is that it tells us something very important that we need to know about the kingdom of God. And that is this, the world is always confusing the message of Jesus Christ. It's very important. Our heart will distort the message. Tonight, really, the purpose is to help us see clearly the kingdom of God. Even in this message in Luke 42, this, if you look at the context, Jesus, again, is starting to preach. He's starting to do miracles. And the people love him. They love it. And the crowds are gathering. Because guess what? In their heart, they've been reading the Old Testament and they're saying, "This is the king. Here comes the king." But in their mind, the king was what? Was going to be a real king. He's going to knock Herod off of the throne in Jerusalem. And he's going to sit there. And he's going to knock Caesar off of the throne of Rome so that Israel could be, again, its own kingdom physically. That was the hope. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't want any part of that. Jesus removes himself from man's ideas of what the kingdom is about and says, "No, my kingdom is about something different. I want to remove myself. It's not about my fame and my glory, but it's about preaching the message that I've been called, about being obedient. I have work to do." So he leaves the fame, he leaves the popularity, and goes to another town and starts to preach. But we have to understand that it is the heart of man, it is all of our hearts to distort the kingdom of God, distort the message of Jesus Christ. In fact, that's why Jesus spoke in parables, he says. Remember, he would teach in parables, and they said, "Why do you teach in parables?" It was because the people of this world, they don't understand when I teach in parables. Those who have hearts, those who want to see the kingdom, those who desire the kingdom, God will reveal it to them. In Luke 17, 20, the Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed." In other words, it's not the ways that you think it's going to happen. So how does it happen? Tonight I want to give you three things from our text about how we can see the kingdom of God clearly. And what is the message of the kingdom of God? Which is the purpose of Christ coming into the world at Christmas to bring the kingdom of God to this world. Essentially, I'm going to make three points. The first one is any kingdom has three things. These three things we're going to talk about. The first one is any kingdom has power. There's some kind of message. There's some kind of thing that it has that it proclaims that makes it what it is. When you think about America, what made America America? It's freedom, right? That's the first thing you think of. There's power in freedom, isn't there? Yeah, I love it. Way to go. Out of the mouths of babes. Amen. There is power in freedom. The power of the kingdom of God is found in a message of truth. Jesus said he was the truth. and the truth will set free. And the power of this kingdom is the real account of God coming into the world. It's the message of the gospel. We've been told this already, that we're to repent and believe the gospel message, the good news. That at Christmas, the message of Christmas is a fulfillment, friends, of prophecy. Now, I don't know about you. One of the things that really rocked me is before I was a Christian, I could not deny these realities, that the Bible made predictions. I just thought the Bible was a fairy tale. But the Bible makes predictions, hundreds of them, about the Messiah. And then guess what? They all come true. Many of them at Christmas. Born of a virgin. Right? We could go on and on. We sing them. The Word of God made prophecy, and it shows, the prophecy shows the power of God. This is no joke. It shows God's sovereignty over man. This is the kingdom of God coming with power. That God's plans couldn't be foiled. He had a plan. He said it was going to come true. He told us it was going to happen, and then it did. God's power being revealed to Jesus Christ coming into the world. And then we have Jesus living a sinless life, showing power over sin and temptation. Where you and I fall, friends, we're not as powerful as we like to think. We might have our good days where we're able to fight off some of the temptation. But we all know, even in the hiddenness of our hearts that we like to deceive and cover up, we are sinful people. The power of evil and sin overwhelms us. But it didn't Jesus. There was power in the life of Jesus Christ. He was sinless, tempted by the same things that you and I are, yet without sin, the Word of God says. And therefore, this kingdom, it comes with power, power over the temptation of sin and evil. Friends, you won't find that where anywhere else. Buddha was a sinner, Muhammad was a sinner, Abraham was a sinner. You name the religious leader, they have graves. Jesus has no grave. Jesus, sinless, his power over sin and evil. His sacrificial death on the cross, showing the unconditional love of God. Now, there are lots of definitions of love out there. But you will not find another definition of love like you find in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is real power. That no other religion, if you can find another one, tell me. But there's not one, friends. The power of the unconditional love of Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross is powerful. Powerful grace and mercy that changes lives. The defeating of death. It's that one thing we always laugh about, but death and taxes that we can't avoid. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, showing the power of the kingdom of God even over death. That the idea of an afterlife isn't just a fairy tale, isn't just a figment of our imagination. No, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that there is something beyond the grave. You can't write it off. It happened. 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. This is what changed everything. Power came through the resurrection into this world, a testimony. And even today, friends, he sits at the right hand of God, reigning with power. Nothing is happening in America or anywhere else in the world that is not out of his control. That's power. The power then is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is the testimony of the King, Jesus Christ, coming into the world. In Matthew 13:31, Jesus tells a parable, which again, he did to explain the kingdom of God quite often and make it known to people a way that they could understand if they're searching for the kingdom of God. He said in Matthew 13:31, he told another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed it in the field." You see, again, the disciples and many other people were hoping that Jesus was going to come and the power would be in an earthly physical kingdom. But that's not where the power was. The power was in faith. This parable says something very powerful about the power of the kingdom of God. That when you and I would believe this message, this foolish message, that God does radical things that nobody even could imagine are going to happen in your life. It's like a little three-year-old getting a Ferrari. They have no idea what they're getting a hold of, right? That's a cool car. Yeah, you have no clue what you're getting there, right? That's the kingdom of God. To think about what God is going to do, the power of faith. That's what he's saying here. This little tiny thing that doesn't look like anything, when it grows, it's the kingdom of God. It just expands. It's bigger than you even know. Think about the disciples. They had no money. They had no power. They had no education. Most of them were fishermen. And yet God, through faith in Jesus Christ, radically changed the world forever. Did he not? And friends, he's still doing the same thing through people who don't add up. Praise God. When you have faith in Jesus Christ and in the message of the gospel, there is power is unleashed in your and I's lives. And this is the power of the kingdom of God revealed even now, today. As I look around this room, I see it happening. It's such a joy to see the power of God, the power of the kingdom of God at work through faith in your lives. So power, the kingdom of God is a message of power. That power is in the message of truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the people believe it, the power is unleashed in this world. But a kingdom also doesn't have come to power, but a kingdom has values. Point number two, a kingdom has values that back up that power, that reflect the king and the kingdom. I get that from the message here. The text was, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. This word repent tells us that the word means to turn away. So I'm turning away from values, things that I previously thought were important to me, and I'm turning towards these new values, these new things that I find are important. That's what the word means. You see, in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down, or you might say inside out. The weak becomes strong. The thief on the cross is the one that enters paradise, and the religious holy person that looks like they got it all together, actually, they're out. The undeserving, the uneducated become the rulers in this thing, in this new kingdom. The children, it says, the heart of the child is closer than the Pharisee with 9 letters behind his name and the PhD in theology. The rich are in, or the poor are in, the rich are out. Everything is backwards in this kingdom of God. In Luke 6:20, Jesus speaking in a sermon says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So everything is backwards here. We're poor in this world, and the rich struggle. The word of God says it's hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because his hope is in this kingdom. And if your hope is in this kingdom, you got your reward. But the poor, they're hoping for another kingdom. Then they are rich because they're rich in God and faith in God. In Matthew 5:10, and the famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heaven of God." So it's the person that's hungering and thirsting for righteousness that is in the kingdom of God, not the person that looks righteous. But I'm hungry for righteousness. I'm hungry for God. In the kingdom of God, there are different values. Humility is valued. Selflessness is valued instead of selfishness. Humility is valued over boasting and pride. You know, I was watching, I was going to use this in the sermon on Sunday, but I ran out of time. But I was watching this thing about millennials and what their future, what they're thinking about their future. That's what the whole thing. They were interviewing millennials saying, what do you want to do with your life? What's life all about? And I mean, almost all of them said, you know, I want to find a job that's going to allow me to travel the world and just, you know, work where I want and see all these awesome sights and just do that. And it, man, that sounds really exciting. But they want to do that. Like, I think about, like, I wanted to do that, you know, for a few years. Then I wanted to settle down, have a family. That's not in their cards. That's not what they're thinking. They want to keep doing that, right? And I thought about that for a minute. And I thought, what a wasted life. I've been to some pretty cool places in the world. I've got to go to the Sistine Chapel 2 times in my life and look up at that unbelievable painting, right? That is unbelievable. But guess what? The second time wasn't quite as grand as the first, was it? So yeah, that's pretty cool. And if you went there every day, it would lose its luster. Traveling is awesome. I love the idea. But friends, there's so much more to life than that, isn't it? That's saying I want to live my life just for myself, what pleases me. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Serving, living my life to pour out and reflect God's glory like we heard. This is the good stuff. But the word here is repent. And I just want to ask a question before we move on to the last point. Let me just ask you this. Is there any deep conviction in your heart this tonight that your life, that the things that you value in life, the things you desire, the people you admire, who you want to be and why you want to be that, the aim of your life, that may just be offensive to the kingdom of God and what God's purposes and plans are for you, especially young people and old people? Because the word here to repent is say, you're missing out on something good. There's a heart in the repentance that isn't just a bummer. Like, I'm missing something good that God has for me. So repent is not just say, you know, I know I should settle down, darn it, you know, or something like that. It's to say, I am kind of convicted in my heart that God has something better than what I'm selling out for. That I'm missing out on something good, that in this kingdom, I know there's something backwards and I'm starting to taste it. I desire it in my heart. I'm wanting it. I see it in Jesus Christ, that I see it in him, and I don't know what it is, but I want Jesus. I want to know what it is, Christ. I don't want to have my life being all about me and my stuff and accumulating things and what I want. I want to live my life for this water that will satisfy, this hunger that we'll find in the bread of God and Jesus Christ that the Bible talks about. That I could find joy as the word of God, even in my persecution. Why would I find joy in persecution? Because I'm standing on something that's worth fighting for. Why would I find joy in poverty? You know, in my poverty that I'm finding something grand and glorious, because I'm rich. I want to be rich in God. So I'm turning away from the things of this world in repentance and turning towards something very good. Mark 9:47 says this about the kingdom of God and repentance. It says, if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. For it is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. I don't want this thing that is weighing me down, that's dragging me down into the emptiness, into the repetitive hamster wheel that I keep thinking is going to bring me joy, but it never does. What Jesus Christ has in the kingdom of God, the values of the kingdom of God always satisfy. You will never regret being humble. You will never regret living your life selflessly. You will never regret trusting by faith the power to forgive as Christ has forgiven you, somebody else. You'll never regret that. It's hard. The final thing in a kingdom, so we have a power, and we have values. We said the power is in the message of the gospel. The values are a backwards values. The things that God values are not the things that the world values. And we need to turn away from the values of this world to get it right and to seek the values of the kingdom of God. The last thing is, in a kingdom, there's always people. I mean, a kingdom is only a kingdom if there are people in it, right? I guess you could have a kingdom of animals, I guess, but that's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God has in its, when you think about the everlasting kingdom of God, there's God and there's people there. The word here in the text is to believe. It's a personal thing. We're not in the kingdom of God because your parents were Christians. You're not in the kingdom of God because you went through rituals of the church. You're in the kingdom of God because we trust the message of Jesus Christ. We've turned away from our way, our sin, our way of doing things, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Mark 1:15 tells us. It says, repent and believe in the gospel. That's what it means to be a Christian, to turn away from the values of this world and turn to Christ. So there are people there. And the people that are in the kingdom of God are believers. They believe in Christ, not just a one-time thing, but they're now believing. So when we repent, it's not just to turn away from the values of this world and say, you know what, I don't want to be, I want to be rich in God, not rich in this world. But then there's another step, isn't it? Because that's a great idea to say that. Believing is action. It's trusting. It's not just in a mental assent, it's action. See, Matthew 13:44 says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. You see that? There's action. It wasn't that he just knew that there was some treasure out in the field. It's that he went for it. His life reflected it. He didn't sit around and talk about it. He didn't tell his cousin that it was out there and then just sit around and look at it, and they both sit around and looked at it. He went and sold his stuff and bought it. And the point is this, to live in the kingdom of God, to live for the kingdom of God, it's not just to repent, it's to believe, it is to act, it is to trust, it is to exercise faith. And that with joy. So friends, the question is not just what do we need to repent of, but what is God asking us to do in faith to take that step towards God that it looks like we're living for and in the kingdom of God? It's not just enough to say I'm going to forgive that person, but then to go and be reconciled to that person. It's not just enough to sit back and say you're sorry, but to make it right. It's not just enough to look at the neighbor and say, you know, maybe there's something we do, but to walk across the street and do it, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This isn't just a Sunday thing. This isn't just a mental thing. This is a living out of the kingdom of God. And so God calls us not just to repent, but to believe, and that is to trust, and that is to act. And friends, I just want to leave, as we leave here, there's an urgency here. We cannot walk along in our perfect little lives watching It's a Wonderful Life. Again, to believe is to act. It's a great story, but there are many people that we know that are hop, skipping, and jumping into the kingdom without the kingdom of God that we know, and right into eternity. Without knowing Jesus Christ. And so I want to put a rock in your shoe, Christians, if you're here. Again, it's fun. Christmas is a good time. You know, we get together with people we love, and we talk, and we eat, and we have a great time. But there's an aspect where there's people that we interact with and know that don't know the kingdom of God. And God has called us to make the kingdom of God known. Jesus came to bring the message. It's our job to expand the kingdom by sharing the message with other people. And so I want to challenge you. John 3:5 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we must be, the Word of God says, born again. That means that the Spirit of God, when we turn away from our sin and our way of doing things and the things that we value, and we turn towards Jesus Christ, that we are born again. We become a new creation. There's new power. There are new values. There's new life within us. And that I want to challenge you tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? And I want to challenge you as Christians, as you walk through this Christmas season, who is God putting in your life that you need to share this message with? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, the kingdom of God, any kingdom has three things. It has power. We saw the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is about the message of the King, where he revealed his power, revealed his ways. He revealed who he was. That's the message. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's a message of truth that sets people free. God, the kingdom, any kingdom has values. And God, I just pray tonight that you would help us, even now as we pray, say, God, what is it in my life that I'm valuing? What is it that I'm holding on to that I know does not reflect the kingdom of God? Maybe it's some sin, something I've been holding on to or hiding, the love of something. God, help us tonight to let go of that in confession, to repent and say, God, I want to give that up. I want to turn it to you. But then, God, the final thing is that we are a people who believe. So let us turn away from sin and turn towards something good. It's not just that we stop stealing. It's that we start working hard and living our lives so we can give our money away. God, help us to live in radical ways that reflect the kingdom of God. Let us not just be talkers of the word, but doers of the word in our lives. And in that doing, God, that we might be sharing. I just pray tonight, God, you'd convict us of somebody in our lives that we know that needs to know of the kingdom of God. And God, that we'd have the courage to share it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing. Our last song together for the evening, Silent Night. Street. Christmas to each and every one of you. We'll hopefully see you tomorrow morning. Merry Christmas. Coffee and cocoa and cookies outside. Thank you, Tim.